say a prayer before we open the Word. God, help us to be in touch with just being like Jesus, being like you, and to love those around us. Let that be what we walk away with today, and just open wide our hearts to realize how much of a difference we can make if we will love those around us like Jesus did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I really appreciated what Peter and Kenny had to share. You know, they basically shared stories about loving other people. You know, and I really thought when Kenny was talking is, you know, he said, you know, I got problems of my own, but I can still love somebody.
Yeah.
And isn't that a great sentiment for all of us?
Yeah.
You know, nobody in here doesn't have some problem of your own. I have problems of my own. But that doesn't disqualify me, nor should it, from loving somebody else.
Right.
So I really appreciated that thought right there. When we think about God, you think, okay, what is one of the most notable characteristics of God? You could arguably come up with a couple of different options. You know, you could talk about, you know, how powerful God is, how timeless God is, how wise God is. But I think arguably his love is his trademark quality. You know, it is the thing he should be most known for, I believe. Go to the next slide. In 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, what is God in the core of his being? He is love. That's why there was a Jesus that came to earth to die on a cross for us, because God is love, and he wanted us to be redeemed. It is his trademark characteristic. And so it's not surprising that when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? What's the greatest thing that me as a man, how can I have a relationship with you? What do you want from me? It's not real surprising what the answer was. Go to the next slide. You know, what's the answer? Jesus replied to the what's the greatest command? He said, well, here it is. It's love.
Yeah.
Love me back.
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the greatest. No surprise. Because God is love. What does he want from us? He wants us to love. And not just love him back, but hey, the second command, just like it, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
You want to wrap everything up in a big package and you want to simplify with what's the core value? Love. Love God and love others. And so we're going to talk about loving others today. You know, we talked about loving God. We talked about sharing the good news. Today we're going to talk about loving others, loving one another. Go to the next slide there. John 13:34, a new command I give you. This is Jesus speaking. He's going to tell them something new. Love one another. That doesn't sound so new. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. The new part is probably, as I have loved you.
Yeah.
The way Jesus loved was new. Jesus loved in ways that people don't love.
Yep.
You and I are challenged to love the way Jesus loved.
Yep.
You know, who's easy to love in your world? Hopefully, your family is easy to love, although that's not always true. But you know, it's easy to love people who treat you well.
Yeah.
It's easy to love people who love you back.
Yep.
It's easy to love people who you have a vested interest in.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus loved that group, but Jesus also loved a whole other group of people.
Yep.
He loved people who were indifferent towards him. He loved people who were downright mean towards him. He loved people who knew who he was but didn't care.
Right.
He loved people who were clueless, just going on about their life and didn't even care about what he was up to. He loved everybody. Love like Jesus loved. That's the new command. To love at a depth that we just don't have in us without God. But with God, we can really love everybody around us. We got a shot. And Jesus is calling us to that. If you want to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read there a little bit. And go to 1 Peter 1:1, verse 13. Now Peter, he's writing this letter to Christians. And he's kind of giving them what hits me is kind of like, you know, if you're going to see some, you don't know if you're going to see somebody again, and you want to kind of give them, if maybe you think parent and kid or whatever, you know, let me just give you some reminders of some stuff that's important. I want you to remember as you're going on your journey. That's kind of how this little section hits me. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, he says, prepare your minds for action. He's talking to Christians. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. Verse 18. You know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you've been purified, you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you may have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Like this little girl, squeeze the stuffings out of somebody. Love one another deeply from the heart. Why love one another deeply? Because now that you've been purified, now that you've come out of the darkness, now that you're in the light, now that you're in God's house, now that that's where you live, love one another deeply. You've got a new household heritage. Maybe you didn't grow up with that kind of love. Well, you're in God's house now, and that's what kind of love exists there.
Yeah.
And now that you're in God's house, love one another deeply. 1 John, go to the next slide. John, kind of at the end of some of his writings, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, what should we do? We also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. What should we do? Hey God, what should we do? Hey, you've loved us, you sent Jesus. What should we do? Here's what you ought to do. You ought to love one another. That's what God has to say. You ought to love one another. Go to the next slide. So what are we getting out of some of those? If we're going to love one another, we should do it as Jesus loved you. That's the example. That's how to. You want a how to example? Look at Jesus' life. Do that. Our love will show that we're God's kids. That's what Jesus said. If you love one another, then the world will know that you're my kids. If you know God, now that we're forgiven, we should love others. We should do something with what we've been given. If you know God, and you get a signal, then you will love others. If you don't love others, you don't know God. I mean, love is pivotal. Isn't that what God tells us? Love is at the center. If we love others, God is in us, and His love is made complete in us. So can you love others if you live on an island by yourself? Go to the next slide. You can't be isolated. You like that? We can't be isolated. As Christians, you don't become a Christian, and then you just live as a hermit. Because if we live as a hermit, what can't we do? We can't love others. Now, well, Nick, what if I was marooned on a desert island? Then what? Okay. Okay. When that happens to you, then I'm sure God will bring you the answer. Okay. None of us are marooned on a desert island. Okay. So don't worry about the what if that isn't happening right now in your world. We can't be isolated. We become a Christian. You become a kid, a child of God. We have to be engaged in community. That's where loving one another happens. That's why do we come to church? I don't know. I wish I did know. We come to church partly because God says love one another. How are you going to do that? Because you're going to be around one another.
Yeah.
There's got to be some community.
Yep.
We have passion groups. Why do we have them? Because we have a community of believers. We have a place where we can love one another. We have a place where sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Well, why is that any good? Because it teaches us something about us.
Yeah.
But Ralph really gets on my nerves. You don't understand. I do. I've been around it. No, see, I can work on my humility. I can work on my forgiveness. I can work on me not being judgmental. There's a lot of things God gives me by being in community and loving each other. Can't be like Jesus and be isolated. That's why there's community. What we're going to talk about today is five ways. Go to the next slide. We're talking about five different ways that Jesus loved people so that we can imitate it. Now, there's more than five. I just picked five. But we're not just going to talk about them. We're going to practice them. So there's a little illustration with each of these that we're going to do amongst each other. Because let's just talk about loving one another. Let's actually practice loving one another. That's what we're going to do this morning. So I hope you're up for a little participation. So here, what's going on here? In John chapter 13, Jesus and his guys are together, and Jesus gets down on the ground, and he washes the feet of his guys. Okay? He takes on, if you will, the role of a servant. And at the end of washing their feet, he has this to say. He says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." If you stop and think about it, that'd be a pretty powerful example. It's hard for me to picture because I don't have servants. But if you had somebody that it was their job to do a job that maybe was less desirable, I was trying to think, what would it be in my world? Cleaning the bathrooms. You know, it'd be like not a high desirable item on my list. If all my life somebody, you know, cleaned my bathrooms for me, and that was true in society, and then I came over to your house and said, "I'm going to clean your bathroom for you." Yeah. I don't know how it works, but you know, something that would be striking. What are you doing? This isn't, no, you're the Lord. No, this isn't right. Jesus is like, no, see, this is, I'm doing something to try to burn it in your brain. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get down in people's lives and love them, even if you got to get a little dirty to do it. I want you to have the humility to love somebody when it might be a little uncomfortable. You know, Kenny was talking about helping somebody out. I'm sure it wasn't always comfortable with that situation he was describing. So does he want? What's he want us to do? So what we're going to participate in is we're all going to wash one another's feet. Start taking your shoes off. No, we're not. But what we are going to do, I think the bigger point here is to serve one another. To practice serving one another. To put somebody's needs above ours. We've got a very simple serving example. So I want the outside person on this row, every row, that if you're the most outside person, go back there and get a plate. And if you're on the most outside person here, come up to the piano and get a plate. So go back there. And Tim, you're going to go help over there. Tim's going to go help in the back. Rob's going to... Everybody take a plate carefully. They got jelly beans. Carry them back to your row and keep them with you. Every row should have one person back there. If there's nine rows on one side, you just kind of... The ninth row, you're part of the eighth row. So just go ahead and go back to your seat. So how are we going to practice serving one another? You'll see in a second. So I'm serving all of you by going to the store and buying jelly beans. And then you're going to serve in a moment. So every row got one on that side, Tim? Okay, so the way it's going to work is Everybody gets two or three jelly beans. You get to choose whatever you want. So the person that just got the plate, you're going to serve by turning to the person next to you, and you hold the plate for them so they can choose the two or three colors that they like. Then they take the plate, and then they turn and serve the person next to them, and it goes down through the aisle. So just go ahead and do that. You can eat them when you get them. You don't have to hold on to them and get them all sticky in your hand. And if you don't want a jelly bean, you don't have to have one. But feel free if you'd like to. The first person, you can come back around if you want a jelly bean, and you get served by this person on the end, and then you can take the plates back to the back. Yeah, go ahead and eat them.
I like this church.
Yeah. It's the Jelly Bean Church of Christ right there. Sugar infusion. So while you're chewing on your jelly beans, what are some other ways, participation, this is Participation Sunday, what are some other ways that we can serve somebody? There's lots of ways. What are some ways? Help me out. What are some ways we can serve our neighbor, we can love it in this way?
I'm sure to have some great brothers come over and do some yard work with
you. Yeah.
Okay. Help somebody out with some yard work. That, we can serve somebody that has a yard with that.
Take them a meal.
Okay. Everybody eats, you know. Some of you, that was your breakfast this morning. Hey, I made you breakfast. You're welcome. You know, but everybody eats. We eat more than one meal a day. And so making somebody a meal is a great idea because we're gonna consume something.
Watching their children.
Oh, yeah. You know, not everybody would think of that, but if you have kids, you think of it often.
Yeah.
You know, that, hey, someone can watch my kids, or I can watch their kids. And I know that's a big deal because it's a big deal when it happens in my world.
Coming over and walking our dogs while we're on the road.
Okay. Walking, you know, it's got to feel like it's kind of like family. Walking the dog. Ding. You know.
Exercising for me.
For you. That's like next level service right there. I don't know how that works, but if you've got that one figured out, let me know. It's kind of an interesting concept. I'm going to exercise for you. Lots of people would like to know how that goes. So lots of ways we can serve one another. You know, let's have that in our repertoire. If we're going to love one another, it's going to take some service. We got to have some humility. We got to think about other people. We got to think about what they're going through. We have to consider what's going on in their world so that we can come up with one of these ideas and engage with it. So it takes observation. It takes engagement. And then it takes action when we're able to put those pieces together. Go to the next one. Correct one another. What's going on here? What's going on here is Jesus just got done saying, here's what's going to happen, guys. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to lay down my life actually freely. And then I'm going to get killed and I'm going to die. And then I'm going to be raised again. And so after Jesus shared that, Peter had this to say. Peter took him aside, took Jesus aside, rebuked Jesus. Never. No, this is never going to happen to you. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So Jesus corrected Peter, specifically rebuked Peter. So we're going to correct each other. I want you to think of a rebuke that you can give to your neighbor. And, okay, we're not doing that either. Now, what we are going to do in place of rebuking one another. And you know what's interesting about corrections and rebukes? You know, sometimes this has happened to me more than a few occasions. Where, and sometimes it's been my kids. when they were little, they're like, "Dad, you yelled at me." And I'm thinking, "You have no idea." I said, "I gave you an elevated tone to get your attention. That was not yelling. If you want yelling, I'll show you yelling."
Yeah.
Sometimes someone can say something to us that's a mild correction, and we walk away like, "Oh my gosh, I got devastated. I got rebuked. It was so heavy." And I'm thinking, "I don't think so." But correction. If we love one another, we're going to speak the truth in love to one another.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus said this to Peter, did he say this because he didn't like Peter?
No.
It's like all of a sudden, Peter got on his nerves, and that's, "You got on my last nerve, you're going to get it." Is that what happened here? No. He loved Peter.
Yeah.
And he told Peter something to try to get his mind out of the worldly thinking he was in and over here and centered on God. Because he loved him, he was willing to say this. I'm convinced, let's poll the audience. I'm going to give you three percentages and you choose one. Your best observation as a society, let's just say the Bloomington Normal Society, what percentage of people are conflict avoiders? Okay? What percentage are conflict avoiders? 30% or less? 30 to 70%? 70% and higher. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay, how many think 30% or less are conflict avoiders? I would agree. How many think 30 to 70 is about where, how many of society is conflict avoiders? How many think it's 70 or more? The biggest number of hands was right there. If by and large, as a society, we are conflict avoiders,
yep,
how easy is it for us to do this? In love, by the way. We could do this not in love. That's called being judgmental.
Right.
To do this, though, in love, this is a challenge because we're conflict avoiders, and when you correct, it is tension. Right? Even if it's mild. So to do this takes a good amount of love. You got to love somebody to be willing to say something corrective. You with me?
Yeah.
So here's what we're doing today in our participation piece. I'm not going to ask you to correct the person next to you. What I'm going to ask you to do is one of these two things. Your person next to you gets turned to you and say, "I want the person, we're going to start on the outside, work in. I want the person outside to turn and say, would you like correction in your life?" And you can either say, "Yes, I would like to hear correction when I need it," or you can say, "I hope I would like to hear correction when I need it," wherever you might be. But the reason for doing this is, if we can hear each other say and hear ourselves say that I would like to hear it, maybe it helps us love each other in that way, because we at least know people want to hear it.
Right.
Isn't that helpful? To know that somebody wants to hear it. If I know that Ed Johnson wants to hear correction, I'm more likely to get over my conflict avoiderness, is that a word? And say something to him, because I know he wants to hear it. You with me? So if you're willing to participate here, we'll start on the outside. You start, you ask the question to the person next to you, would you like to hear correction in your life? You answer, and it goes down the line. Go ahead, start on the outside. So then the second person asks the next one. It dominoes across. And if you really want to go for it, the person on this side can ask the person over there that didn't get asked. Did we make it across? How many people want to hear correction? How many people I hope to have the heart to want it? No, I'm just kidding. Number three. Go to the next one there. All right, number three, believe in one another.
Yes.
The scene here. Jesus' guys are in a boat. They're on the water. Jesus comes walking on the water to them in the boat. Pretty amazing situation. The guys see Jesus coming, and they're all trying to process it. There's a human being not sinking, walking on water. That'd be a tough thing to compute. They figure out it's Jesus. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Have you thought this through?" Peter, come on, you know, gravity, water, density of a human, step out of the boat. Come on now, Peter, think about it. Think about that dream. Is that really a reasonable dream? Is that really a reasonable, you know, goal? I mean, do you think maybe you should adjust that to be a little more realistic? Now, those would all be reasonable thoughts to us. But Jesus, what does he say? Peter, in my world, what I get from this, Peter had a dream. He had this dream. He had this idea. He's like, you know what? I believe God with you. I can walk on water. Tell me to come, because if you say to come, I'm getting out of the boat. Now, Jesus could either shoot that dream down, or he could say, get out of the boat.
Right.
Do it. Step out. Come on. And Jesus says, come. He expressed belief in him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many times you're around somebody that expresses a dream, a thought, a hope. I've had a few occasions where that has happened, and I've killed the dream. I hate it. I hate when I realize I've done it. I don't want to be a dream killer. I don't want to bring in the reasonable thought.
Right.
It's so easy. And my kids and I, we have this thing that if I do it, because I've done it with all three of them, and if I do it, then we make a shotgun sound. And it's me shooting down the balloon of the dream that's floating up, and before it got far, bam, gone. And when I hear, I'm like, oh. I just melt into the floor. I hate it. I don't do it all the time. But I have done it. It's powerful to have somebody that believes in us.
Yes.
Jesus believed in people. He loved people enough to believe in them. Here's our participation. Go to the next one. I want you to turn to the person next to you. We're going to domino across again. And I want you to say this to the person next to you. One of these two. Pick which one you feel like you can say and believe. I believe both of these for all of you and myself.
Yep.
Hopefully you believe at least one of these two. And you can say it to the person next to you. So starting on the outside, domino it in. And the person on this end, you got to domino it back. Go ahead.
God has great plans for you.
Okay.
All right, next one. We got to help out and encourage one another. In the same story, right after Jesus said come and he got out, he actually walked on water. Two people in the history of mankind have walked on water, Jesus and Peter. Now, he walked for a while and then he lost focus. He lost his focus on Jesus. It says Peter got down out of the boat, he walked on water.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Came toward Jesus, but when he saw the wind and he was afraid, he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" And then what did Jesus do? He saved him.
Right.
He helped him out.
Yeah.
We need help. We need encouragement when we are in a trial. Peter went from, I'm doing it, I'm walking, I want him to find gravity, to help me out in a short amount of time. But when he needed help, Jesus reached out his hand and said, I got you.
Yeah.
We all need help.
Yep.
We need somebody to love us enough to reach out their hand and say, I got you.
Yep.
So, what we're doing this time, doing the next one, say something encouraging to the person on the outside going in. And if you know, I don't know him very well, then just say this, because this is true. God thinks everybody in here is amazing. So at least tell them that, which is an encouraging thought. So start on the outside, go across.
Okay, here we go.
God thinks you're amazing.
All right, one more. Feels good to love people, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good? I mean, we're practicing this. Feels good. Last one here, Peter. Peter's going to deny Jesus. Jesus tells him that. Peter doesn't think it's going to happen. But it is. It's going to happen. Jesus says this, I have prayed for you, Simon, also Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Not only does he pray for him, not only does he say, I'm going to pray for you, and I have prayed for you, but even sows a little bit of belief in Jesus, or in Peter here too, doesn't he? It's like, you're going to go through a trial, Peter. I've prayed for you. I'm going to keep praying for you. And when you get over that trial, when you succeed, I want you to encourage other people. That's belief.
Yep.
So, in a 15-second prayer, pray for the person to your right. And if you're in the middle row, you're back around to the other side. So say something, pray, give a quick prayer to God for the person on your right. God, help us to love. Help us to love as you have loved us. Help us to serve those around us, correct those around us, believe in those around us, help and encourage those around us, pray for those around us. Let us love like you love. Let us change this world by the way that we love like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment,